Sources say the FBI and Justice Department are investigating those trades and others by top brass at SVB. President Biden calling on Congress to hold banking executives accountable and oversees reports of a deal involving global giant UBS and the troubled Swiss bank Credit Suisse. Elizabeth Schulze from the White House tonight. Winter making its final stand. 85 million people under freeze alerts. Frigid temperatures taking aim at the east, reaching as far south as Florida. Samara Theodore timing it all out. The new claim from former President Donald Trump saying he will be arrested on Tuesday and urging his followers to protest. Part of the New York DA's hush money probe. But tonight, Trump's own spokesperson appearing to walk back the comments. And reaction from former Vice President Mike Pence. Jay O'Brien with new reporting. Russian President Vladimir Putin defiant in the face of an arrest warrant visiting occupied Crimea one day after the International Criminal Court said he should be tried for war crimes. Putin far from the front lines as his forces target Ukrainian infrastructure. James Longman on the ground with Ukrainian forces fighting back. The fury in France. Protests intensify as President Macron tries to raise the retirement age without a parliament vote. Inez de la Cotera from Paris. The bracket-busting historic upset.
FDU!
One of the giants of March Madness falls to a massive underdog, what one player just said. Caught on camera, a dramatic crash landing on a Long Island beach. And America Strong, the pioneering Division I baseball player, and her message to young girls who love the game.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday night. I'm Whit Johnson. Several developing stories as we come on the air, and we begin with the banking turmoil and new details about Silicon Valley Bank. ABC News obtaining new audio of then-CEO Greg Becker downplaying financial risks just days before the bank collapse, the second biggest bank failure in U.S. history. Financial filings showing Becker sold $3.6 million in Silicon Valley Bank stock late last month. Sources confirming to ABC News that the Justice Department and the FBI are investigating the bank's collapse, allegedly focusing on possible insider trading. Public filings also showing that the executive chairman of First Republic Bank, Jim Herbert, sold more than $4 million in bank stock in January and February of this year. And reports tonight of a major financial merger overseas, UBS in talks to take over parts or all of Credit Suisse. Swiss authorities are working to broker a deal that could reportedly be finalized as soon as this weekend. It's part of an intense international effort to restore trust in the banking system. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze leading us off from the White House.
Tonight, amid a growing banking crisis, newly obtained audio by ABC News reveals the CEO of failed Silicon Valley Bank projecting confidence in the company's outlook just days before its dramatic collapse. At a conference on March 7th, Greg Becker downplaying financial risks. But 3 days later, the bank collapsed, and government filings show Becker sold $3.6 million in Silicon Valley Bank stock back in February. His lawyer telling ABC News, "We believe Mr. Becker conducted himself appropriately at all times." Sources confirming to ABC News the Justice Department and FBI are investigating Silicon Valley Bank's collapse, with part of the FBI's early focus expected to be on any evidence of insider trading. Public filings also show Jim Herbert, the chairman of embattled regional bank First Republic, sold nearly $4.5 million in stock in January and February this year. President Biden is now pushing for executives of failed banks to face higher punishments, including clawbacks and fines.
We must get the full accounting of what happened and why those responsible can be held accountable.
And tonight, another struggling bank, Credit Suisse, is reportedly in talks to merge with UBS. The buyout would come after a $50 billion cash injection from Swiss authorities into Credit Suisse last week, as regulators in the U.S. race to contain fears of a global banking crisis.
Elizabeth Schulze joining us from the White House. And Elizabeth, back here in the U.S., as the focus intensifies on those banking executives, what is President Biden suggesting to hold them accountable?
with the president says stock sales and bonuses should be a key target from regulators for any of those executives at failed banks. The president is also asking for Congress to be able to enhance the authority of the FDIC to approve fines and to prevent these bankers from working in the industry in the future. And tonight we are hearing from a spokesperson for Jim Herbert, the executive chairman of First Republic Bank, who tells us that those stock sales were part of estate planning and philanthropy. Whit.
Elizabeth, thank you. Now to the weather and winter making its last stand. 85 million Americans across 12 states are under freeze alerts as an Arctic blast moves into the Northeast and much of the Deep South. Snow squalls blanketed parts of western New York today. Lake effect snow warnings in place. Let's get right to ABC's meteorologist Samara Theodore. And Samara, how long will this bitter cold last?
Now, I'll tell you what, it is going to be short-lived. However, growing season is already underway for much of the South. And unfortunately, tonight, we're anticipating another hard freeze, which could certainly impact the yields. Freeze watches and warnings have been issued from Little Rock to Columbia through Sunday. Not only that, we're tracking cold air all the way up into the Northeast, with wind chills Sunday morning down to the single digits and teens. That's what it's going to feel like walking out the door in cities like Chicago and Pittsburgh. The good news is we are going to see these temperatures rebounding by the middle of the week. Temperatures will be in the 60s by Tuesday and into Wednesday. Whit.
All right. We'll look forward to that, Samara. Thank you. Now to the major claim from former President Donald Trump, saying in a social media post that he expects to be arrested on Tuesday, urging his supporters to protest. He says the charges will come from a Manhattan District Attorney's office and the investigation over alleged hush money payments. Trump's spokesperson walking back those claims. Tonight, reaction from both sides of the aisle, including former Vice President Mike Pence. Here's ABC's Jay O'Brien.
Tonight, former President Trump claiming he expects to be arrested on Tuesday and telling his followers to protest. In a post on his social media app, Trump saying he believes the charges will come from the Manhattan District Attorney's office and stem from alleged hush money payments that Trump made to adult film star Stormy Daniels during his first presidential campaign. ABC News has not verified the claims, but later a Trump spokesperson appearing to walk back the post, saying there's been no notification of charges from the DA, blasting the investigation as a witch hunt. Prominent Republicans rallying to Trump's defense. ABC's Jonathan Carl pressing former Vice President Pence in an exclusive interview for this week.
He's calling on people to protest, to come out and protest, take our nation back. We know what happened the last time he said that.
Well, John, the American people have a constitutional right to peaceably assemble. The frustration the American people feel about what they sense is a two-tiered justice system in this country, I think is well-founded. I believe that people understand that if they give voice to this, if this occurs on Tuesday, that they need to do so peacefully and in a lawful manner.
On the Democratic side, former Speaker Nancy Pelosi tweeting, "No one is above the law, not even a former president of the United States." The former president's announcement this morning is reckless. For months, a grand jury in New York has been ramping up its probe, examining if Trump's alleged $130,000 payment to Daniels violated campaign finance laws. But the case in New York just won in a series of investigations swirling around Trump, including in Georgia, where prosecutors are weighing whether to charge Trump or his allies over alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 election results in that state. And Special Counsel Jack Smith investigating the classified documents seized by the FBI from Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate, as well as the January 6th insurrection and Trump's alleged attempts to hold on to power.
Jay O'Brien with us now from Washington. And Jay, what more are you learning about the Manhattan DA's investigation and any potential charges for former President Trump?
Yeah, with all eyes on the Manhattan DA now. They had no comment today after that Trump post. These grand jury proceedings are secret, but we do know that Stormy Daniels met with prosecutors just this past week and that Michael Cohen, Trump's former fixer, also testified before this grand jury. We also know that the DA's office told Trump that he had a right to testify before this grand jury himself. That's something that New York prosecutors typically do before they move forward with an indictment, Whit.
Jay O'Brien, our thanks to you tonight. And tune in to This Week tomorrow morning for more of John Carl's exclusive interview with former Vice President Mike Pence. We turn now to the war in Ukraine and Russian President Vladimir Putin making an unannounced visit to Crimea for the 9th anniversary of the area's annexation. It comes just one day after the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant accusing him of war crimes. ABC's James Longman from Ukraine tonight.
A defiant Vladimir Putin today visiting occupied Crimea to mark 9 years since Russia annexed the peninsula. But this was a visit by a wanted man. Friday's arrest warrant from the International Criminal Court hanging over him. The court says Putin's alleged deportation of thousands of Ukrainian children to Russia amounts to a war crime. President Biden supporting the evidence.
Well, I think it justified it, but the question is, it's not recognized internationally by us either, but I think it makes a very strong point. He's clearly committed war crime.
Putin today saying nothing about those serious charges. He was seen here poking around a Crimean art school. But here in the east, in the cover of darkness, a Ukrainian special drone unit heads out towards the front lines. The team works fast, only using minimal light. They don't want to alert Russian reconnaissance. This is the Punisher, a fixed-wing drone assembled in minutes.
The crucial difference with this drone is it can fly so much further. It can fly deep behind enemy lines. And it can carry more ordnance. Take a look at this. This bomb, this is £2 worth of explosives.
The Punisher can fly up to 40 miles. Drone missions like these are critical to support frontline troops. And as these videos from the Ukrainian military show, they aim to hit ammunition stores, artillery positions, even suspected leadership locations.
With the fighting where we were has quieted in recent weeks, intelligence reports suggest Russia is running low on ammunition and manpower. Now, it might be that Vladimir Putin asks President Xi of China to help with this military campaign when he visits Moscow on a state visit next week. But we'll have to see whether the Chinese leader wants to help a man with an arrest warrant hanging over him. Whit?
James Longman from Ukraine for us again tonight. Thank you. Now to days of protests erupting in the streets of Paris, the unrest fueled by anger over the government's plan to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. Protesters tossed fireworks at police as they clashed for a third straight night. Hundreds have been arrested across the country since protests began in January. ABC's Inez de la Cotera reporting from Paris tonight.
Tonight, heated new protests sweeping across France. Millions hitting the streets since mid-January to protest French President Emmanuel Macron's plan to reform pensions. At least 4,000 people marching tonight in Paris, where demonstrations have turned violent. Protesters lighting fires right in the heart of the city and clashing with police.
I saw a fire earlier. It's definitely pretty scary.
Thousands of workers also on strike, upending public transit, even sanitation.
You can see the streets of Paris are covered in mounds of trash. This one here really starting to smell. Garbage collectors have been on strike for 13 days now.
Still, President Macron says he has no choice but to raise the minimum retirement age from 62 to 64, arguing people are living longer and the government risks running a deficit. The Élysée Palace wouldn't comment, but demonstrators are calling on the government to fund pensions another way, by taxing the rich, for instance, because they say Macron's plan could hurt blue-collar workers the most.
What he wants to do is just show the markets that he can make the people, his people, bleed so he can get the last dime from them.
And most of the people we've been speaking with oppose the proposed pension changes. Meanwhile, on Monday, lawmakers will hold a vote of no confidence in Macron's government, though it's not expected to pass. Whit?
And quite a scene behind you. Inez de la Cotera, thank you. Meantime, back here in the U.S., the March Madness shocker that everybody is talking about, 16th seed Fairleigh Dickinson University, the shortest team by average height in men's college basketball, knocking off number one seed Purdue. The Knights just the second 16th seed in NCAA tournament history to beat a top seed, and it's the biggest upset by point spread since 1985. Here's ABC's Phil Lipoff.
Four straightaway three.
It's why they call it March Madness.
Do you believe it?
One of the biggest bracket busters in tournament history. The 16th seed Fairleigh Dickinson Knights from New Jersey beating number one Purdue, 63-58, a neck and neck nail biter.
We just made history, boys. You just made freaking history.
An epic celebration across the country from the FDU women's basketball team.
FDU! FDU!
To fans in Las Vegas.
FDU!
A true David and Goliath battle. FDU, the smallest team in the league, average height 6'1". Purdue, average height 6'5". And junior Zach Eddy is 7'4", 305 pounds. FDU double-teaming him for most of the game. Their win crushing to millions. NCAA March Madness tweeting, "No perfect brackets remain."
It's hard to top what we did last night. We're just trying to keep a level head, you know, stay humble about the situation.
But one game doesn't make a champion. The Knights know that. They're back at it again tomorrow against Florida Atlantic University, a 9 seed. Let the madness continue. Whit?
Oh, my bracket is definitely busted, but cheering them on. All right, Phil, thanks so much. The state of Wyoming is now the first in the nation to specifically ban abortion pills. The Republican governor signed a bill on Friday night that made prescribing them or selling them illegal. It makes exceptions for rape, incest, or if the mother's life is in danger. The ban takes effect on July 1st, pending any legal action. The pills are already outlawed in 13 states that ban all forms of abortion. There's still much more ahead on World News Tonight. This Saturday, the urgent search for a missing Indiana teen, the community joining in the effort with first responders. And the mystery surrounding the 2015 death of a young man near the Murdoch family home. What the victim's family is now doing as they seek answers.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, an urgent search for a missing Indiana teen believed to be in extreme danger. Authorities say 14-year-old Scotty Morris, who may also need medical attention, has not been seen since Thursday night when he disappeared from his hometown of Eaton, about 75 miles northeast of Indianapolis. Hundreds of volunteers are joining first responders in that search. The family of a South Carolina teen who died in 2015, not far from the Murdoch family home, says they plan to exhume his remains and conduct a new autopsy. Authorities reopened the investigation into Stephen Smith's death after uncovering new information during the investigation of the murders of Paul and Maggie Murdoch, Alec Murdoch's wife and son. Smith's family is raising money to cover the costs.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking in that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
To the index now, a dangerous crash landing on a Long Island beach caught on camera. The engine failing in the small plane, the pilot, Queens, New York Assemblyman Clyde Vanell, saying his emergency training kicked in bringing the plane down at the nearest safe location, which turned out to be that beach. Thankfully, no one was hurt. A major recall to tell you about tonight, frozen strawberries packaged by California Splendor and Scenic Fruit and sold at major retailers like Costco and Trader Joe's are being voluntarily recalled because of the risk of hepatitis A infections. Officials say at least 5 people have become sick. More information on our ABC News website. Finally tonight, America Strong, the ball player breaking barriers and her message to a new generation.
When the announcer called her name,
number 19, Olivia Pichardo.
Olivia Pichardo stepped into the batter's box and into history, becoming the first woman to play in an NCAA Division I baseball game. Yesterday, the Brown University freshman swinging at the first pitch, rounding out to first, but changing the game forever. Olivia has been playing baseball since she was 5, later joining travel teams, playing mostly with boys, competitively through high school. She sat down with our Stephanie Ramos.
Around 14 years old is when it started to hit me that what I'm doing is really out of the ordinary.
After rigorous practice and workouts with other players in the fall, she found out she made the team as a walk-on.
Olivia, thanks for joining us for the fall and officially for the spring.
It was nice to know that all the hard work that I put in really paid off.
Her coach, Grant Achilles, says players should be judged solely on their baseball ability. Tonight, Olivia sharing this message to young girls.
Dream big and know that they can do it.
Olivia making history tonight. Way to go. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. I'll see you on GMA in the morning. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.